Now we continue with the doctrine of God, and I hope maybe this will be the last of this series. And this will be part 21 of this series. Last week we looked at the mercy of God, and we said that the mercy of God is His ever willingness merely to relieve His creatures in miseries. His ever willingness to merely relieve His creatures in miseries. And that the source of His mercy is in Himself, that He is not moved by anything in those that He relieves to show them mercy, that He Himself, unlike human mercy, where it is moved out of sympathy, because we are all fellow sufferers, but God doesn't suffer. His is purely from Himself, and it is from Him that we derive all mercies. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, we are told, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Then we try to explain the Father of mercies, that from Him all mercies flow. We also learn that His mercy are of two kinds, general and special, where we thought of His general touching all His creatures. Then the special one here, which has to do with His forgiving love for His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we continue, and as I said, maybe to be the last of this doctrine on God, teachings on the God, His nature and attributes. So we are considering the patience or the long suffering of God. The patience or the long suffering of God. To begin with, I'll turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7. That's part of our reading to, which we had tonight. Verse 6 to 7. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation.'" Here, these are the words of God which God proclaimed about Himself when He called Moses to come again to take the Ten Commandments for Israel. Because when Moses brought the first one, the people were sinning by the molten calf, so he broke it into pieces. God called him to come back and take again the commandment to them. And in this, the Lord, interaction with Moses, he, in the words of the Lord, He spoke about Himself. He speaks about Himself as long-suffering. Long-suffering. Among the various words, we have His long-suffering here. So the Lord is long-suffering. And long-suffering commonly shows the forbearance of the offended in regard to the offender. So that the one offended holds himself not to retaliate to the one who has offended him. And long suffering is a glorious attribute of God. It's one of His glorious attributes, and it really endears Him to us, His creatures who are ever sinning against Him. And the long suffering of God shows His slowness to wrath, or how He is not easily provoked by the sins that are committed by His creatures, although He has all it takes to immediately punish all who sin against Him. So you see that God, unlike us, He has everything, and He is able to punish every sin every sinner commits immediately at all times. But then there's slowness to His willingness to punish, and so that we say the slowness to wrath. So God's the vengeance of God is called the wrath. When He pours wrath and upon those who have offended His law. So we see that it is His slowness to wrath, or that He's not easily provoked. And I quote you Stephen Shannock. He says this of God's long suffering. "The God's long suffering signifies His willingness to defer and unwillingness to pour forth his wrath upon sinful creatures. He moderates his provoked justice and forbears to revenge the injuries he daily meets with in the world, so that God, by his justice, he should immediately pour his wrath upon those who offend his law. For as we know, every sin that we commit against ourselves, against others, or directly to him, all sins are against him. And yet God, who is just and holy, who cannot look upon sin, hold himself and defer how he should quickly punish sinners, and how he works like he's not willing to pour forth his wrath upon sinful creatures, so that he forbears his revenge. Because each and every day, the whole world is so much sin. Until this world is taken away, every second, every hour, we sin against him. There's sin everywhere. And looking at God's justice and his holiness, he should each and every time pour his wrath and hot one, so that all sinners must perish. But we see that God is slow to his wrath, to anger, as some people charge God as if God doesn't care about what is happening in the world. And we always tell people, we tell those people that if God should punish us, and the person who is saying the same thing, then none of us will be live. Because the one few that you say that God will punish others, your sins are also before him. You see, but then God is slow to show his wrath. And again, God doesn't lack knowledge of any sin, whether committed openly or in secret. Another thing that adds up to the wonders of his patience or long-suffering, and that though he is just and holy, and at the same time he's all-knowing, every sin, whether done publicly or secretly, he knows about it, and that he can fetch the sinner out and bring the required punishment. So he has the means to punish every sinner at all times, and he's the Almighty God who is all-sufficient. We can remember his plagues in Egypt, from the river to the dust, and from the sky to their plants, to their animals, whatever, to their bodies, and to us all over. You see that God, even in that his workings and his wonders in Egypt, we can recollect the many ways he's able to bring his punishment upon the wicked, the enemies who stands against his way. So that whenever we think of sin and God not bringing punishment, we should think that he's not God who is handicapped. He's the all-sufficient God, and that he's able to bring sometimes even he uses the normal things of life. Remember when the people of Israel asked for out of when they were not satisfied with the provision of the Lord, and from lust he asked for meat, he sent them birds. And the Bible told that they ate and it came out of their noses, and they died out of it. You see, with the temperament, the good things of life, God is able to use to punish his enemies, if he wills. I'm sure we have heard of people drinking water, choke them, and they are gone. Or move them to become something else. There are so many, even the air we breathe in can be turned against the sinner. So God is the all-sufficient God when it comes to his wrath. So that whenever he becomes slow to show his wrath on the sinner, we should remember it is his patience or long-suffering. So that God, who has such power and such ability to punish sinners, yet by his long-suffering he restrains his wrath. He holds himself that sinners are not punished immediately. So we see that God holds himself. And this is another aspect of God's being and his nature, that unlike human beings, at a point, no matter how patient we are with others, though we may not actually react, but in us we begin to feel pain and not be able to bear so much. But with God, there's nothing like that. He, when he withholds himself, it isn't that the very his unwillingness to punish sin really makes him sad. I mean, himself sad, or no, but it's rather his attribute which shows that he's ever willing to pity and that to hold himself against quickly coming to justice against sinners. It is out of the goodness and mercy of God that he exercises his long suffering. I'm sure we have studied about the goodness of God and his mercy, and then this is joined together. His goodness merely has to do with all his creation, you see, and his mercy has to do with the sufferers in his creation. And when he's exercising his goodness in this world and his mercy, then his long suffering comes in. Because if he is not long suffering, his goodness to those who sin against him wouldn't see. But because of his long suffering, those who sin against him, before he can even relieve them by his mercy, he holds himself against their sin. You see? So that God receive the penitent sinner, the sinner who repents, the sinner that deserves to be punished by him. He receives us because when he holds his wrath back, and then the sinner repents, he receives the sinner back. You see, he doesn't pour that wrath upon him, but by his patience, the long suffering, he's able to receive sinners now, those who have offended his laws and who deserve to be punished. So that we see that it is by his long suffering that sinners are given the opportunity to taste of his mercy. Because if he doesn't show patience with them, they can never come, his relief will not touch them. But because the sin himself, he holds himself against, off from the sin so that he can show mercy to those who are in need of his mercy. So that before he shows his mercy, then he has already demonstrated his patience toward the one who is in need. And so the Bible tells us in Romans 2:4-6 that about the those who seem to not to repent, despite that God holds himself against their sin for a long time, that the Lord is able to punish and according to his righteous judgment. And I read to you, all despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. This to the one who is unrepentant, that you despise the goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitence hath treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to thee. So that when sinners sin and continue to sin against the patience, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, at one day the Lord himself, they are compiling upon them, so the wrath of God, so that one day when it comes to them, God is going to give it as it is. But then it is his forbearance and long-suffering that keep them to in that state, so that they will have opportunity to repent and turn to him. Again, according to John Gill, he says that God's long-suffering is one way in which mercy shows itself. Wherever God is said to be long-suffering, is represented as gracious and merciful. So you see that gracious, goodness, mercy are shown to sinners because he holds himself against us. Because if God has not hold himself against us, then his mercy will never reach us. You see, he holds himself, and in exercising his mercy, long suffering is shown to the sinner. So we see that God's mercy always works along with his long suffering. It works hand in hand. And whilst his mercy pities sinners, his long suffering bears with their sins. You see, his mercy pities the sinner to relieve the sinner, but then if his long suffering do not hold himself against his sin, the mercy will not reach the sinner. So when he does that, then his justice is not served instantly. He waits. He waits. He waits. So God's long suffering or patience is employed when he actually restrains his anger and forbears deserved punishment of a sinner. when he actually, I mean, forbears, I mean, restrains his the deserved punishment for a sinner. We see an example of this in his warning to the wicked in Psalm 50, verse 21. He says, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will prove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." The silence of God shows his justice. We show that he's silencing his justice for a time because of his patience. He said that this is the house, and I kept silence. Here, the silence, the expression silence means God has what? Hold his justice for a time because of his patience. Because it's like here, the wicked, he tells the wicked that because he has held his silence, he thinks that maybe he has connived with him in his sin, that God has not come and pounced on him. I said that, "But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. A time will come." See, patience always works within time. And I said, "I will reprove thee." And that's how God, as God does with all sinners, he withholds his justice. And in doing that, it is his patience. The silence of God. You see, sometimes in the Bible, you read some of the Psalms, and then the good, that the saints will be crying that God should come and bring justice. And because his enemies are defying and blaspheming his name. And it's not that God has not seen what the enemy or his these sinners are doing against him and his people, but it is his patience, even for this his enemies. So it is the outworking of his long-suffering of patience that delays the employment of his justice for sinners. So that whenever he put his patience in work, so that he demonstrates his patience, then we see that he delays how quickly he will come and punish sinners. So we learn that God's willingness to punish is not because he is indifferent, but it is his merciful delay which shows his patience to sinners. That when God is quiet about the wickedness that is being done against his people or against his name in the world, it isn't that God is indifferent. And we can even think of today, many churches really are rather like enemies of God, rather are causing havoc than even those who never, I mean, mention the name of God. And sometimes we sit down and say, "Oh, and why things are happening so?" And God should act, and that, I mean, people will see the truth and all that. God is patient, see? And that we when we think of our own sinfulness, then we understand why God himself is patient with those who are his enemies. So his long-suffering or patience comes in between his justice and mercy, as I've already said. His justice and mercy before, because other than that, it will be difficult for people to have his mercy. Because the sin, he cannot look upon sin. This is the Holy God who cannot look upon. He withhold himself against those that he has to bring his punishment on. One unique aspect of God's long-suffering or patience is that it is in this sinful world alone that this endearing attribute of God is displayed. It is in this sinful world alone where there are sinners, so that in the world to come, the saved will have no sin in them. That will require God's patience. And as well, the damned will have a fixed condemned state where there will be no need of God's patience. So that it is in this world alone, it is when the fall of Adam came in that God manifested his patience. Else his patience that is not manifested. It is only shown forth when there are people where there are sins that he has to hold himself against, you see. So it is in this sinful world alone that this glorious attribute of God is manifested. When this world is no more, God's patience will be in himself alone. While we know the other attributes will still be displayed. I quote to you William Whitehurst. He says, "After this world is at an end, it will remain shut up in the deity without any further operation. The time of this life is the only time of long suffering. That is why sinners the unrepentant sinners in hell and the demons and devils, they will have no opportunity to repent. Because God will not show any long suffering again. The state after this world, whether the believers and unbelievers, the demons and the holy angels, is fixed. Because God's patience will not work again. And that the believers will be in heaven. God will not need to exercise patience on believers, because there will be perfection. His perfection will hold them, that there will be nothing in them that he will change them. He will change all believers. There will be nothing in them that demands his patience. So you see that it's a wonderful thing that in this world, that, I mean, when we think of sin coming into the world, yet this that come, that God's attribute of patience, long suffering, is manifest. So that in all things, God has his way, his way, and in all things, God's honor and glory is to be manifest. Even in the wickedness of men, God is still glorious. You see? See how God is so glorious in all things. Even when people have done wickedly, his glory is never defaced. You see? Even in the fall of man, God's patience is at least brightly shown forth. And then all other attributes. We look at the object of God's long suffering. God manifests his long suffering towards his chosen people. First, we think of God's chosen people, those that God will save to himself, as we sometimes, the elect of God, and those that he will redeem, those that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, those that he has given to him. He shows his long suffering. I turn to 2 Peter 3, chapter 8 to 9. But beloved, 2 Peter 3, 8 to 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The us in the passage is in connection with the beloved. So here, what Peter is speaking about, God's people, believers, you see, for whom his long suffering is engaged until all of them are brought from sin's condemnation to life in Christ. When I was reading this, I realized that some of the translations, the dwells, what they have done is you. And it brings, kind of different understanding, so that from that, people explain that, some explain that this long-suffering here we have in this passage has to do with all people in the world. But no, Apostle Peter is talking about beloved and us, which has to be those that God will save to himself. His people, he showed long-suffering, that none of them should perish, you see. All those that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to die for, the sheep, none of them, he said that half other sheep I will bring in, none of them will perish. And this was one of the better tells us too. But other translators like NIV, ESV, American Standard, ASV, and others, they all say you, which changes the meaning of the passage. So you see, the reason why we say sometimes the translations we use, we should be careful with. Because here, not willing that any should perish. Some people apply it like universally, nobody will pass. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible categorically says that some will perish, you see. Some will perish. And that those that God will save, none of them will perish. He's not willing that any should, but they would. They should come to repentance. And that he holds himself against our sins, you see. He holds himself against our sins. And that none that he will save will have to perish. And that we know that God kept his wrath from his people under the Old Testament, but reserved it for his son, who is their surety. All the Old Testament saints, their sins were put on Christ when he died. It's like God, like he covered, that's the atonement, that's the meaning of atonement. He covered their sin to the time of Christ offering himself to put it on him. So you see, their sins, he didn't, well, God must punish sin, that also.
So that is why those who sin and God holds His patience, if they don't repent and turn to Him, He must come upon them with the fullness of wrath. See, so that even His people that He will save their sins. He doesn't let go. He punishes it, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our surety, you see. So that as we think of God's patience, it doesn't mean that God will put away their sin. No. God must punish each and every sin. But then, if sinners continue that sin, that means He must come. That's why at the day of final judgment, sinners will have to suffer for all their sins. Sinners who never repented will have to suffer fullness of His wrath. You see. But we also know that apart from the Old Testament sins and their sins which were kept to be put on Christ, the Lord always bears with the sins of all those He will save in their sinful state before conversion. Before the Lord saves anyone, the sin of the person the Lord holds Himself against. For conversion, then He also placed that sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this character of God, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 tells us how God Himself waits for that time of their repentance. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait His patience here, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. So here, the Lord waiting for the penitent sinner, He waits. So that we show what? To be gracious unto Him. He's waiting, this is patience, His long suffering. Because the person to whom the Lord is willing to show this mercy and to be gracious to, is still sinning against Him. But also the Lord holds Himself, His wrath against such a person whom He will save. Till the time of His conversion, then the Lord forgives and then casts away. And as I said, believers' sins are cast on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Every sin must be punished. That is why when unbelievable people will not come to Christ and commit their heart and life to Him and confess their sins to Him for Him to save them, they must face the justice of God at the end of the world. They must go into judgment and stand before Him and receive the fullness of His wrath. Sin must be punished. You see, sin, every sin will receive a just recompense. Because the Bible tells us He will by no means excuse the sin of any. God will not excuse the sin of any. He must punish every sin. Apostle Paul's conversion was a notable instance of God's long suffering towards His chosen people. Apostle Paul's conversion. We think of his life in Acts chapter 7 and 8, how he was killing the believing believers, and he was there. He even pulled the dresses of those who were stoning Stephen, and after all, he went to make havoc of the church. And then the Lord saved him. In fact, he himself speaks of this, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 to 16, about the long suffering of God towards him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 verse 16. Good from verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a path unto them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. So here Apostle Paul singles himself out as, I mean, if we should think of any sinner that we think, well, this person is beyond God's mercy, let's think of Apostle Paul. So think of, I mean, he's the chief of all sinners. He was, he has committed, as we say, all the sin that, the most wicked person could, because he was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, you see. Not just killing people, he put in his hand to really become enemy to God. But even he through the forbearance, the long suffering of God, God had patience with him to convert him. See, so that nobody is beyond the recovery through the mercy of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from sin. So we see the wonderful instance of God's long suffering toward his people. Though Apostle Paul, he look at his conversion. He never saw the Lord. He was on the way to go and commit further sin. And the Lord brought him to a halt. So you see that the Lord will indeed, he's not willing that any of his people should perish. They will come to repentance. He will bring them one by one to himself. And another aspect that God manifests his long suffering is toward his enemies, the enemies of God. For the display of his long suffering, he bears with the sins of those that hate him till their time of destruction. You see, all who will not repent, all who will that he will destroy by his wrath, the end of the age, even they. He bears with their sins. He doesn't come quickly to destroy them. In Romans chapter 9, verse 22, we are told of this. Romans 9, verse 22. Okay, let me start from verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, or the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What? If God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So you see, God, though there are some that he will not save, he will be doomed forever, and yet he holds himself from their sins for a time. While they live in this world, while he gives them life and everything, yet he doesn't come against their sin. You see, that even they who will not, whom he will destroy, who he will punish in eternal fire, he holds himself against their sins. He doesn't punish them immediately. And indeed, this is to render this those that God will, as we see here, the vessels of what? The vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Such who are in this category, who will not be redeemed, who will be left in their own sins, not because God likes others and hates others, but because God is willing to show his mercy to whom he will show mercy. It is his. He chooses whom he will save, he chooses whom he will leave in their sin. And that those that will be punished, and we will see that it was their sinfulness, so that when he executes his wrath on them, it will appear just and righteous, that even they who are in their state of sin, God was willing to show them patience. He was willing to show them that act of faith that endears him to his people. In Romans chapter 2, 1 to 5 teaches us of this. I move on. There are many instances of God's patience in his dealing with the wicked. We have examples in the Bible. I'll just recall some to you. The people before the flood in Noah's time. Those who perished in that flood. All the mass, there was only 8 people that was delivered from that flood. All those people, we are told the Lord before the destruction, show his patience with them. In 1 Peter 3, verse 2. Before their destruction, God showed his long suffering towards them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. missed the verse, but it speaks about God having a showing, I mean long suffering for this, for the time before the flood came, that God held his patience, and he held his wrath against them until the time that he has to bring the flood. We are told that Noah built the ark for 120 years, and we are told Noah was the preacher of righteousness. Noah was preaching to them, and in all this period, these people stood in their sins, and the flood came. So we saw that even when God was coming against them, when he started with Noah to build the ark, these people were still continuing their sin against God, and God held his patience. He held his wrath from them. We have the example of those in Sodom also. In Sodom, Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, the Lord saying their sins were great, and yet it didn't immediately come upon them. He waited to the fitting time. Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. When after Lot had separated from Abraham, and we are told that he moved towards Sodom, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinned before the Lord exceedingly. At this time, God has not come to punish them. Lot went to stay there, and he later on moved into the city. And even when he moved there, remember, there was a war among the people, and then they were taken captive. Abraham went to bring them back. Lot went back to Sodom. So from this time, before Lot even went to the place, the Lord had said, the people of Sodom were wicked and sinned before him. But he did not come immediately. It was some time. If you're not going to stay there, then he brought his wrath. So you see that God, again, for those that he will destroy, he manifests his patience, his long suffering against us. Remember that of Pharaoh. Look at the many times Pharaoh has to stood against the Lord, and the Lord was merciful, even trying to persuade him with so many troubles, one after the other. And then Pharaoh will not. So finally, Pharaoh himself has to follow them, and they perished in the sea. So is it the patience of God that though Pharaoh did not care to obey the Lord, to listen to him, God was patient with him. So finally, he has to be destroyed. We can think of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The many times they provoked the Lord. The many times they provoked the Lord. So the point, he has to destroy some of those rebellion people. Because they rebelled several times. So at the point he came in his justice. We can think of also the Amorites and the Canaanites, the original inhabitants of the land of Canaan before the people of Israel, where the Lord promised to give the people of Israel because of their sins. And just what Abraham was in the land for, I think God told Abraham that 400 years after, then he will destroy the people of Canaan. That's why their sins. He said that their sins were not yet full. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, he says, the Lord speaks to Abraham. He says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And you know, Abraham descended went to Egypt for 400 years plus before they marched through the wilderness to come into the promised land to sack them. But then at this time, God said the iniquity of the Amorites is not here for. The Amorites stands for all the people of the land of Canaan. As at then, God, by his long suffering, it's not that he cannot punish, but he says that their sins were not right for injustice. Not that each one of the sins are not ready for injustice, but then he gives time even for those that he will punish, so that they don't seek him and continue, then his wrath becomes heavy on them. And again, we think of the Gentile world before the Lord Jesus Christ came. The word in Acts chapter 17 says, God winking at the sin, or at the idolatry of the Gentile world, shows his patience with the Gentiles as our ancestors. And before the Lord Jesus Christ came, the idolatry, God, so it was provoking to him, yet he acted as if he didn't want to punish. Verse 30, Acts 17:30, because he had, verse 30, at the time
of this ignorance, God went out, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. So the whole thing is, the main thing is that by the time of this ignorance, when they were given to idolatry, God winked at. That is God like making like he didn't see even the idolatry. It has to do with his patience and long suffering. Though all idolatry was against him, yet God acted as if he didn't see their sin. But now he commands them to repent. But now that he has sent, the Savior has come. So we see that God is being merciful to us with the Gentile world before the gospel came. That all the idolatry they engaged in, God says, he will that. But now that he has brought salvation, he calls men to repent. Because there's going to be a day of judgment. You see how it is connected. So that whenever God is said to be long suffering, it is for a period. Soon he has to pour his wrath upon those who will rebel. So I come to conclusion. I just make some few applications. We think of God's patience, that is a great kindness to every sinner. Every sinner thinking about God, one of the things we should ever be grateful and be thankful to the Lord is his patience. You see? Because it is the only way that we can really enjoy good things from the hand of God. And that God who holds life and can bring it to an end at any moment is the one we sin against. God who holds our lives, that he can quickly shut us up. We sin against him. Yet, because of his patience, that would raise his justice with mercy, he does not instantly pour his wrath upon us. You see? But as I've been repeating, however, God's patience for every sinner is only for a time. He bears with us in our foolishness toward him. He bears with us with our sinfulness and our ignorance. We ignore him. But it's just for a time. And the sad thing is that, the most dangerous thing is that, the time is only known to God himself, God alone. He only knows when his patience will expire for every individual sinner. So that it makes a continuous life of sin a very perilous one. Because if I do not come to the Lord and repent and ask him to help me, to save me, and to wash me from my sin, I don't know when the Lord himself will hold for me his patience. And I'll be whisked away to judgment. And what do I have? Because every sinner is never wise. Because soon or later, the sin will find him or her out. You see? But you see, when we sin and we continue to sin, I think we are wiser. No. Soon the Lord will come at us, even in this life, and then we'll have to stand before him in judgment. And then he who has been so patient with us, who has not punished us according to how we have rebelled and sinned against him, he must have no patience with us. He must punish us. So that when every sinner should meditate regularly on this, this will work greatly in the conscience to realize that repentance is a necessity, and that pleading for mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious thing. But you see, when sinners don't think of such that God is patient with them, they think maybe they are wise. And probably what the Bible says about sinners is not true. No, the patience of God calls every sinner to repentance, as the book of Romans tells us. It calls every sinner to repentance. And to lay down rebellion against the Almighty God, who is not lacking any means of punishing his enemies. May believers ever also be thankful that our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his long suffering toward us, that he was willing to bear with us for so long. And that when we were sinning against him many times, we despised his gospel and disbelieved in his saving power. He was willing to bear with us. So the day He saved us and bestowed on us the privileges of adoption, which brings us to the family of God. We should ever be thankful to that, you see. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for us, and to, after His death, wait upon us to repent and turn to Him, and to bear with us each and every day in our sinfulness, then we will be among those who have to be quenched to judgment and to stand before the Lord. So that a believer must ever be thankful to the Lord for His patience toward Him. Because even when we have been saved, our remaining sin, but because of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God has nothing against the believer. God has nothing against the believer in this life. But the sinner and the unbeliever, patience of God, but soon it will end. As I said, that looking at the patience of God, it's only in this life that God will exercise patience or long suffering to any sinner. In the world to come, no patience to anyone. All the states will be fixed. And then all either happiness or doomed forever. May the Lord help us as we think of these things. And as I said, this should call for endless praise from believers, because we have tasted the goodness of God beyond the deepest woe, which is our sin. Our sins are greater, but His mercies, His patience, His long suffering for us far, far greater than all that we have done against. May the Lord help us as we think on this thing. In closing.